So last week we introduced or talked about, or I talked about a question, a very, very important question, a question that I think that all of us need to be asking all the time, a question that I think that are going to make, that's going to make our lives wiser, make our decisions better, help us have less regret, right? And if we are willing to ask this question, it's going to bring clarity into our lives. There's some things that we're bumping into every single day, and we wouldn't bump into those things so hard, or we'd have some clarity about those decisions that need to be made if we were willing just to ask this very important question. I mean, this question has the potential to
change our relationships.
Change our relationships has the potential to
change our finances.
Our finances.
Change our health.
Our health. What else?
Obviously,
it's not changed our marriage.
Oh, it changed our marriage. Yes.
Change our marriage, right? All of these things.
I missed that one. That was important.
Yeah, that was important.
Missed my cue. Sorry about that.
And so, listen, this question has the potential to change everything. And if we would just take the time to answer this question, and it's so easy, but I don't get it. As young adults, as young people, we're willing to ask and seek after wisdom. But as we get older, for some reason, it's like we feel like we know a few things. And so we stop bumping into this question. And the question is,
what's the wise thing to do?
I was hoping they were going to answer, but I'm glad that you did too. And
sorry.
So I'm just kidding. What's the wise thing to do? Not necessarily the legal thing to do. Not necessarily the obvious thing to do. Not the smartest thing to do. But what is the wise thing to do? And this morning, as we continue this conversation, if we're not choosing wisdom, then what are we choosing? If we're not choosing wisdom, what then are we choosing? Because we're choosing something by default. Something's happening. We're going down a direction. We're picking something. We're choosing a road. If we're not seeking out wisdom, by default, we're seeking something else out. So what is that something else? If we're not choosing wisdom, the book of Proverbs and King Solomon, he uses three different characteristics, so to speak, that we pursue. And if we're not pursuing wisdom, we're choosing one of these three other things by default. Whether we intentionally do it or not intentionally do it, whether we pick one or don't pick one, we're moving in another direction. And we want to talk to you about that direction because we really believe that a lot of times we don't pursue wisdom. And you need to know, and King Solomon wants you to know, listen, the wisest guy in the world says, if you're not going to pursue wisdom, you need to understand you're pursuing something else, and it's not good. It is not good. And the conversation we're about to have, which I think Life Community Church, we're fine with this. Like, we know who our pastor is, right? Listen, it's a little offensive, okay? It's a little offensive. Maybe hard to swallow. Not so much sugar involved, you know, kind of treat sermon kind of thing. But listen, it's what King Solomon is saying to us through the whole book of Proverbs. And we can't miss the fact that if we don't pick wisdom, we're picking something else.
Yeah, so the first thing, if we choose not to be the wise person, make the wise decision, then the first person that we're choosing to be is we're choosing to be the simple person. Now, just so you know, this is the least offensive out of the three that we're going to talk about.
This is the one you
want to be. But so this is the simple person. This person
is
simple-minded. This person is young. Yes. Like you said, they're inexperienced.
Most of the time young,
but inexperienced. They're naive. You could even say that they're clueless. That really kind of doesn't sit well. But this is the person that is young, and they haven't lived a lot of life yet. It's important for us to know that the simple person is not against wisdom. Okay, they don't have a problem with wisdom. They're not rebelling against the right thing to do. They don't have this hard heart that says, you know, I don't want this. It's just that they're young, and they don't know. They're inexperienced. They haven't lived much of their life yet. They haven't had the opportunity to learn wisdom yet. They don't have the past mistakes, which allow us to gain wisdom. And so that's kind of where we're at with this simple-minded person.
If you're a mom in this room, if you're a dad in this room, and you have a teenager in this room and or a 20-something, don't make this obvious to them right now, okay? But most of the time, a simple person will usually respond this way. And if you're a mom or dad or you've been around young people at all, you've heard them say this phrase. Because the simple-minded person uses this phrase pretty consistently. The phrase could go something like this. Nothing's gonna happen. Nothing's gonna happen, right? Don't worry about it, Mom. Don't worry. You don't even know what you're talking about. Like, I've got this figured out. You're just overreacting. You're overreacting. Just let me live my life. Let me live a little bit. It's gonna be just fine. Proverbs 22:3 says this, the prudent see danger and take refuge, but the simple keep going and pay the penalty. The simple keep going and have to pay the price or suffer the consequences.
Yeah, when the simple person is making decisions, they may not, they don't have the lessons learned yet to help them make wise decisions. So unless they have someone in their life coming alongside, you know, speaking some words of wisdom into their life, then they're probably not going to make the wisest decision. You know, they need somebody who's there that has the knowledge, that has the experience, someone to help them see what they can't see. It's not that they don't want to see it. They just can't see it because they're young and inexperienced. They need someone who knows what they don't know. And they need that person to come in there and, you know, offer these words of wisdom to help them make the right decisions.
Proverbs 21:11 says this, when a mocker is punished, the simple gain wisdom. By paying attention to the wise, they get knowledge. The simple learn from other people's mistakes. They learn from other people's wisdom. I get the pleasure throughout the week to meet with a lot of 20-year-old young adults. I love that. I love meeting with them, hanging out with them. And we'll talk about life. And we'll talk about God and what God has to do with life. And off the time when they share something with me or they have a question and they're asking for wisdom, I will respond with this answer. What do you think your mom would say? What do you think your dad would say? Have you ever asked your mom or dad like what they thought about like the next step that you're interested in taking, right? And they're like, whoa, I've never thought about that before. That is a really good idea. Because what I've learned oftentimes is me and mom or me and dad are saying the exact same things, right? But the important thing is like, we get it. Sometimes we're going to have simple minds and we're naive and we're not going to get everything. But are we seeking wisdom in that?
Yeah. So last week, Sean shared with you some of his unwise moments, right? He shared some of those moments. So I thought it's only fair that I share one of my most unwise moments.
Absolutely, it's
yeah,
fair.
It's only fair. So, and this, yeah, this one might take a little while. So you just, you know, sit still and let me talk for a minute, right?
I keep my mouth shut.
In between my junior and senior years of college, I had to do an internship. It was part of graduation. And so I had got an internship at a church helping their children's pastor and their youth pastor for the summer. And the 4th of July came, and the church didn't have anything planned for the 4th of July. I didn't have anywhere I had to be. And so since I'm not living at home, not with my family, now, like, this is the first 4th of July that I can really, you know, like, express my own independence, celebrating, you know, the day of independence for the country.
Wild and crazy
Shelley. Wild and crazy Shelley. So I called up my best friend. I said, hey, I have the day off. What do you want to do? Like, let's do something we've never done before. So we decided, now we'd both grown up in small towns in central Illinois, going, you know, like doing like the backyard barbecue with the family and then going to the county fireworks. And we wanted something bigger and better and more exciting than that. And I didn't have to ask anybody for permission to go do this. So I decided, let's go downtown St. Louis. Like, let's drive into the city. Let's spend the day down there by the arch and all the festivities. And then let's watch the fireworks over, you know, over the river that night. This is going to be great. We have this great plan. We think it's going to be awesome. And it was great and awesome until we're getting ready to walk out the house I was staying in, and the phone rang. Now, a little voice in the back of my head said, run, Shelly, get out. Don't answer the phone. But I thought, no, you know, let me answer the phone. Well, the phone call was Bethany was my friend. It was her mom. Her mom called and said, can I speak to Bethany? And I'm thinking, no, I don't want this to happen. I'm afraid you're going to ruin our plans. So Bethany gets on the phone, and I can hear her. She's like, uh-huh, okay, yeah, no, I understand, okay. Okay, mom, okay, bye. She looks at me. She's like, Shelly, my mom doesn't think we should go. And I'm like, no, we should have ran out the door. Why did we answer the phone call? Because this was before the days of cell phones. So if we could have just been in the car headed to St. Louis, then there would have been nothing that could stop these plans, right? Why did I answer the phone? So she's like, so we can't go to St. Louis. And so now I am so disappointed. I had it made out in my mind that this was going to be the perfect day. Now what are we going to do? We have the whole day ahead of us. The county fireworks don't start till 9:30 at night. What are we going to do all day long? There's nothing fun to do in this little town. So I have this stroke of genius moment. It occurs to me. The light bulb comes on. And I said, now, you know, Bethany, your mom said she didn't want us to go to St. Louis, right? And she said, yeah. I said, I think that there would probably be a place on the Illinois side of the river where we could see these fireworks. Like, we don't have to go to St. Louis. The fireworks are way up in the sky. If we can just get somewhere that we can see the arch in the skyline, we can see the fireworks. This is great. This is a great plan.
I wish my kids were here to hear this story.
I would not be telling this story if they were in here.
See, your mom's a rebel, too.
You're sworn to secrecy.
Yeah.
No. So we decide, you know what? This is a great plan. We are going to just get in our car and drive toward the city, but we're going to stay on the Illinois side. This is going to be great. We're going to find a parking lot, maybe a McDonald's or something. We can go in and get drinks. Come out. Once the fireworks start, we just like sit on the hood of the car. We're watching the fireworks. This is going to be great and awesome. We have no idea, do we? Like, we have no idea what the Illinois side of the river across from the arch looks like. Now, this story does get better, but we're going to press pause on it right now because this concludes the simple-minded portion of my story. Now we're moving into the next character, which is...
So we don't choose wisdom.
What are we choosing?
If we don't choose wisdom, there's a chance that we're just naive. Yeah. We're simple. We're learning some things, and we've got simplicity. And it's like, okay, it's not a big deal. The problem, though, is if we sit with a simple mind for very long, we turn into the next thing, and it's not good. I mean, it's not good to be simple-minded, 40 years old, still living in your mom and dad's house. Like, this is not a good thing at all, right? You need to grow. You need to learn some things. You need to realize some things. And so the next characteristic that none of us really want us to be that Solomon actually begins to talk about is the fool. This person knows what is right and wrong. They just don't care. So we're moving from simplicity to this idea of being a fool, right? This person knows what is right and wrong. They just don't care. They don't care. This person says, I know this is wrong. I know this is not wise, but I'm going to do it anyway. I'm going to move this direction anyways because I really don't care. I'll deal with the consequences later. Proverbs 10:23 says, doing wrong is fun for a fool. Doing wrong is fun for a fool. So there's this moment, there's this time period, there's this space where a fool says, you know what? I'm just going to do what I enjoy. And I'll deal with whatever. We don't think about what the whatever is going to be later. We don't think about what is going to happen in the future. Even though if we would have just paid attention to some things around in our lives, we'd stop. We'd have left simplicity and maybe chosen wisdom. But no, we go right to fool because it's like, you know what? I don't want to deal with what's say later. I'm going to deal with what's fun, what's now. And they become a fool.
Yeah, Proverbs 26, verse 11. Now, I searched multiple translations of the Bible to try to find the least graphic version of this verse for you. This one comes from the International Children's Version. I didn't want to read the NIV version. It creates an unpleasant mental picture in your mind. But here's what this version says. A dog eats what it throws up. A foolish person repeats his foolishness. Now, I had a dog growing up. I've seen this before. You've probably seen this before. You see the dog, you think, why? Why? Like, why are you doing that? That's disgusting. Well, Solomon is comparing the fool to this person. You know, the foolish person repeats his foolishness. They continue to make that unwise decision, that foolish decision, time and time again. They choose to ignore that learning experience. You know, you have the simple person. They don't know any better. They make the mistake. They learn from it. The fool, they make the mistake. They don't learn from it. They choose to ignore the learning experience, and they continue to make the same mistake over and over again. They choose to be foolish.
So if the cure for the simple person is time, which is not a big deal, okay, it's time. We're going to learn some things. Then the cure for the fool is tragedy, right? And tragedy is not good because not only does it affect you, but it affects those that are around you. Like, it has the potential really to hinder and hurt a lot of people that are near you. Remember, the simple person can learn from others, but the foolish person must learn the hard way. And those of us that are around that person are going to bump into some of that hard truth as well. Listen, usually the foolish person has to hit rock bottom over and over and over and over and over again.
You think of the parable of the wise and foolish builders that Jesus tells us about in Matthew chapter 7. The foolish builder built his house on the sand. And what happened when the storm came? House fell apart. He experienced tragedy, right? Proverbs chapter 10, verse 8, Solomon tells us, babbling fools fall flat on their faces. They experience tragedy. It's part of being a foolish person. Proverbs 19, verse 3, Solomon tells us, people ruin their lives by their own foolishness. If you are choosing to live this foolish life, not pursuing wisdom, you are bound to experience tragedy. It's just part of the cycle.
Unfortunately, when it comes to tragedy, most of the time, it doesn't just affect the foolish person. It also affects those that are around the foolish person. And this is why, as parents, we say we are so concerned, right, with who our kids hang out with. Not because our kids are the fools, right? But it's because naturally who they might be hanging out with, right? Proverbs 13:20 says this, a companion of fools suffers harm. Whether you're choosing to be a fool or not, if you're going to surround yourself around fools and be around fools, you're going to have harm. You're going to suffer harm, Solomon says. When you are friends with a foolish person, you're going to get hurt. It's just a matter of time. Because here's the reality. A foolish person does not care about their own well-being. They don't care about yours either. A foolish person does not care about your finances. Actually, they'd love to spend yours. They don't care about their finances, and they would love to spend your finances also. They don't care about their own safety. They don't care about your safety. They don't care about their own emotions. They will run over them. They will damage them. They will stomp on them. They'll do whatever they can, and they don't care about theirs, or do they care about yours? Solomon warns all of us that to be a companion with a fool is harmful,
Yeah, so this brings me back to the 4th of July story. So here's Bethany and I. We have decided we're just going to venture down, and we're coming down from Jerseyville. We really are not quite sure where we're going. So we pull out the old-fashioned paper map. You know, this is before the days of cell phones. We didn't have a GPS, so we pull the map out. Now, just to reassure you, we are not completely ignorant, right? We may be naive, we may be simple-minded, but we do know one thing. We've heard of this place, East St. Louis. We know better than to go to East St. Louis. That's the only thing we know, but we know that much. We know we can't go across the river, and we know not to go to East St. Louis. So we look at the map, we find East St. Louis. Don't go here. Okay, there's the river, don't go there. But look at all the options along the river, all these towns we've never heard of. This is going to be great. Like, there's going to be so many opportunities. Let's just drive down. We have all day long. We'll find a great place, you know, that eventually we'll come back to. We'll park our car, but then we'll go get something to eat, go get something to drink. We'll come back. We'll watch the fireworks. This is a great plan in our minds. So we're headed south, and we're going through town to town to town, and we notice that the communities are looking less and less like the community that we came from. We're not seeming to find, you know, the place that we're looking for. But we're super hopeful, and we're very determined. We want to watch the fireworks that are over the arch. So, you know, I'm just thinking we just have to get closer. We just have to get closer. The closer we get to, you know, the arch, then the better it's going to be. That's what I thought. And all that seemed fine until all of a sudden I'm going around a curve, and then there before me is the McKinley Bridge. There it is. Didn't see it coming. You know, we were following a map. We didn't know exactly how close to the river we were. And then I see the bridge. And then I see the sign, McKinley Bridge. I know enough to know McKinley Bridge goes to St. Louis. We can't go to St. Louis. We have to stop. So I stop in the middle of the road. Bethany turns to me. What are you doing? I'm like, that's the bridge. I cannot cross the bridge. We told your mom we wouldn't go to St. Louis. I can't go across the bridge. She's like, then what are you going to do? I'm like, check the rearview mirror. Nobody coming behind me. We're going to put this baby in reverse. So now we are backing up, you know, going in reverse because I can't cross the bridge. So I back up until finally there I see a street off to the left. Now, again, like we almost had blinders on. It was like there was a point, you know, as we're going past houses with bars on windows and buildings that are boarded up. And, you know, eventually it's like, okay, just stop looking around because this is not wise. Like, we shouldn't be here, but we really want to go where we want to go. So we're just going to pretend like we don't see it. So now I'm finally beginning to take in the reality of where we're at, right? I turn down this side street. And that's when it really hits me. As I'm looking at the street in front of me, the street that I'm thinking I'm going to turn around on. This street has cars parked along both sides. It's all street parking. Nobody has driveways. There's all these houses along the side. There's people sitting out on their porch steps. There's people in their rocking chairs sipping their lemonade. It's the 4th of July. It's hot. You know, people where we had come from were inside their house in their air conditioning. These people are all outside. And there before me in the center of the street is this huge block party. It is people as far down the street as I can see. There are trunks open, doors open on all these vehicles. There is music. Like, the bass is just booming. Like, I feel it in my steering wheel. Boom, 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 boom. I'm like, oh, we are not supposed to be. Like, this is not where we're supposed to be. This is not what I had in mind when I said, let's just drive down there and find a place across the river. So I'm like, I can't go forward. This is a sea of people, and I'm not about to try to push through these people. I can't go this way because that's the bridge. And so I don't know what to do. So Bethany says to me, oh, Shelly, look, there's this little overgrown road right here off to the right. So I look, and sure enough, it looks like what used to be a gravel road that's now, you know, overgrown with weeds. And it's in front of a multi-story brick building that looks like an abandoned factory. And she's like, just go around behind this building and turn around and then come back out and let's get out of town. You know, we shouldn't be here. I'm thinking, you're not kidding me. I know we shouldn't be here. So I'm like, okay, whatever. I don't see any other option. Let me take this little path, go around the side of the building. Now we're in the behind the building, turn around. By the time I have my car turned around, there are two men standing at the hood of my car. So I slam on the brake again. I don't want to run them over. You know, then I'm going to add to this already crazy day that this has turned into. So I stop. And then they proceed to come to either side of, you know, the car at our windows. The only thing I know to do is to check, make sure the door's locked. Like, door locked. Okay. I don't know what else to do right now. Don't make eye contact. Don't make eye contact. I have hand on the steering wheel. I am staring out the front. I see these men on the sides. They're now starting to bang on our window. They are screaming at us, and they're trying to open the door. I am paralyzed with fear. I cannot tell you how afraid I was in that moment. I saw my life flash before my eyes. I thought for sure we were going to be a story on the news that night. And I'm just sitting there doing nothing. And finally, Bethany snaps me out of it when she turns to me and she screams, "Drive, Shelly, drive!" And as soon as she says that, my foot hits the accelerator. Rocks go flying. I've never done that before. And I go fishtailing around this little gravel path, around the abandoned building, out onto the residential street, blow the stop sign, because who cares about the law at this point? I'm just trying to survive. And I'm out on Route 3, and I'm headed back north, you know, out of town, trying to get away. The last thing that I remember of that moment was looking in my rearview mirror. And those two men had run. They'd followed us around the building on the residential street. They're now out on Route 3, and they're running, following behind us, like chasing after us. And I just thought, I got to go faster. They're still coming. They're still coming. And eventually, we outran them, and they stopped. But I do not remember the rest of that 45-minute drive back to Jerseyville. Like, I have no idea how we got there. I don't know. I have never been so scared in all of my life. But I will tell you that we ended up just going to the county fireworks that night at 9:30. It was the best fireworks I've ever seen in my life. We're sitting there and we're like, wow, look at these fireworks. Isn't this beautiful? Who needs the arch? We're here. We're safe. We're alive. And I remember just praying in my own mind, like thinking that night, Jesus, thank you. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for sparing our lives. Thank you for keeping us safe. And God, I am sorry that I was so foolish. It occurred to me in that moment, like, not only did I put myself in danger, but I put my best friend in danger too. Like, that's what happens with a fool. I realized I was so foolish. I wanted what I wanted so bad that I was willing to go to whatever extreme it took to try to make that happen. And I just remember telling the Lord, God, thank you for saving me. I promise I will never do anything foolish like that again. And now I just let you drive, and so we don't have to worry about that.
Two cars, one driver. True. Yeah, I'm like, honey, what? There could have been like something potentially just wrong with your car. I'm like,
yeah,
you're freaking out.
I've
been
know.
The best part of the story. I'd have been
maybe
like,
maybe
awesome.
I made it a little yeah. more extreme
no,
in my mind, but
never.
I was scared. I know that much.
So listen, we're not asking the question, what is the wise thing to do, and not choosing wisdom. There's a chance it's just because we're simple-minded. We need to grow up a little bit. Or there's a chance that because we're sitting in simplicity for so long, we turn into the fool. And we begin to do foolish things. Now, the third characteristic that Proverbs begin to describe, and you should know this already because you've been reading the book of Proverbs this summer with us, and none of us want to go here, but it happens, right? All of us know that there's a person out there like this. We don't want to be that person, right? But the third characteristic that he describes, or the person that he describes, is the mocker or the scoffer. This person is very critical. They don't simply do what's wrong like the foolish person, but they are also critical of anyone that wants to do right. They're critical of anyone that wants to be wise. They're not interested in wisdom and in right at all. The only thing they're interested is in their own thoughts and their own opinion and how they think they should be. They're the loudest person in the room. Nobody can really talk at all when they're engaging with anyone in the room. And most of the time when you're around this person, you're like, can I just get out of this environment? Because that guy is like literally taking up the whole room. Right? It's the mocker. It's the scoffer. So we thought we'd take you back to the future real quick and take a look at a scoffer.
Give me a tab.
Tab? I can't give you a tab unless you order something.
Right. Give me a Pepsi free.
You want a Pepsi, pal? You're going to pay for it.
Look, just give me something without any sugar in it, okay?
Some of that sugar.
Hey, McFly! What do you think you're doing?
Biff.
Hey, I'm talking to you, McFly, you Irish bug.
Oh, hey, Biff. Hey, guys. How are you doing?
Yeah, you got my homework finished, McFly?
Well, actually, I figured since it wasn't due till Monday...
Hello? Hello? Anybody home? Hey, think, McFly.
Think. I gotta have time to recopy it. Do you realize what would happen if I hand in my homework in your handwriting? I'll get kicked out of school. You wouldn't want that to happen, would you? Would you?
Well, now, of course not. No, Biff. I wouldn't want that to happen.
So what are you looking at?
So here we see Biff, this guy who is, you know, you don't want to encounter him, right? He brings an unpleasant environment to the room. He portrays the mocker in this movie. The mocker is very prideful. He's puffed up. He is full of himself. Proverbs 21, Solomon tells us this in Proverbs 21, verse 24. This is what he says about the mocker. The proud and arrogant person, mocker, is his name. He even identifies him. Mocker is his name. He behaves with insolent fury. This guy is proud. He is arrogant. He is very, very, very angry. Solomon also says in Proverbs 22, verse 10, drive out the mocker and out goes strife. I don't know about you. I would never want that to be said about me. Like, out goes Shelly and there go all my problems. You know, like, you don't want to be the person that is said, you know, like, when they leave, all of our problems disappear. Drive out the mocker and out goes strife. Quarrels and insults are ended. Once you're not around, then we don't have any problems. The mocker brings strife, brings quarrels, brings these insults into every situation, every conversation that they're a part of. And Solomon warns us in Proverbs 22, verse 24. He says, do not make friends with a hot-tempered person. Don't even associate with a person who's easily angered.
We can all, like we've already have, right, could think of someone in our life that's the mocker. And oftentimes, this person is not someone we choose to be around, but it's a coworker we've got to be around. It's a neighbor. It's maybe even a family member. You know, it's someone in our lives that we have to, like, tolerate the relationship. Like, they're a part of our lives. We cannot remove them from the part of our lives. And so we're going to try to just make the best of it. Listen, I hope it's never said of me either, like, that I'm a mocker, that I'm just being tolerated. Yet at the same time, if we choose to ignore wisdom, we put ourselves on a path to move towards being a mocker.
Yeah. The mocker controls the atmosphere of the room most of the time. They control it through their criticism. They control it through their cynicism. They think that they're smarter than everybody else. They're not teachable. They're not willing to, you know, receive anything that somebody else has to say to them. And Solomon says this about him in Proverbs chapter 9, verse 7. Anyone who rebukes a mocker will get an insult in return. Anyone who corrects the wicked will get hurt. Listen to verse 8. So don't even bother correcting mockers. They will only hate you. Solomon is saying here, there's no hope for this person. I mean, no hope in what we can do, at least. The only hope would be, you know, Jesus intervening in their heart and changing it, transforming it. But there's nothing that we can do to try to enlighten them or to give advice or to help share wisdom. They're not going to receive it. This person is not teachable. They're extremely arrogant. They're hateful. And the last thing that I'll say about the mocker, Proverbs 24, verse 9, Solomon sums it all up in just these few words. He says, the scoffer is an abomination to mankind. You can't get much worse than that, to have that, you know, be said. An abomination to mankind. It's about as low as it gets.
In conclusion, if you're not choosing wisdom, like we've said over and over and over and over again, if you're not choosing wisdom, by default, you're moving towards simplicity. You're moving towards then foolishness. You're moving towards the being a mocker. So as I read this text that all of you have already read, and most of you have probably read 100 times, I want you to hear the voice of wisdom. Not necessarily the voice of God, but as Solomon describes this voice of wisdom. And what wisdom has to say to the simple person, what wisdom has to say to the fool, and what wisdom has to say to the mocker. Proverbs 1, 20 through 33. Out in the open, wisdom calls aloud. She raises her voice in the public square. On top of the wall, she cries out, and the city gates, she makes her speech. How long will you who are simple love your simple ways? How long will you mockers delight in mockery and fools hate knowledge? Repent at my rebuke. Then I will pour out my thoughts to you. I will make known to you my teachings. But since you refuse to listen when I call and no one pays attention when I stretch out my hand, since you disregard all my advice and do not accept my rebuke, I, in turn, will laugh when disaster strikes you. I will mock when calamity overtakes you. When calamity overtakes you like a storm. When disaster sweeps over you like a whirlwind. When disaster and trouble overwhelm you. Then they will call out to me, but I will not answer. They will look for me, but will not find me. Since they hated knowledge and did not choose to fear the Lord. Since they would not accept my advice and refused my rebuke. They will eat the fruit of their ways and be filled with the fruit of their schemes. For the waywardness of the simple will kill them, and the complexity of fools will destroy them. But, this is the part we like, but whoever listens to me, whoever asks the question, what's the wise thing to do, and then actually opens up their ears and listens. But whoever listens to me will live in safety and be at ease without fear of harm.
Let me close with Solomon's words from Proverbs 21:21 from our reading for this week. He says, whoever goes hunting for what is right and kind, whoever searches for what is right and kind, whoever seeks what is right and kind, whoever pursues what is right and kind, I think that we could safely put in there what is wise. Whoever hunts after what is wise. Whoever pursues what is wise, whoever seeks after what is wise, finds life itself. This is the promise that he gives us. If we hunt after what is right and kind, if we pursue wisdom, we will find life. And not just any life, but what kind of life? What does it say? Glorious life. Not just any life, but glorious life. Can you imagine a life greater than glorious life? The life that Solomon is promising us here, if we will pursue wisdom. That is what we hope and pray for each of you here today. That you will seek after wisdom. That you will pursue it. That you will search for what is right and kind. That you will receive this glorious life that we are promised when we choose to live this way. Would you mind standing with me this morning as we close in prayer? Father, thank you so much for your word. God, it shines into our lives. It reveals the truth of our hearts. God, I pray that as we think about your words this week, as we go throughout our week, as we continue to meditate, as we continue to read your wisdom in Proverbs, God, I pray that these words would just take root in our heart. God, I pray that we would continue to pursue wisdom, that we would not be simple-minded, that we would not be foolish, that we would not mock others, but that we would pursue the glorious life that you have for us. Father, thank you for what you have done on the cross. You have provided us with the opportunity for this glorious life, and we worship you this morning as we thank you for providing this life for us. In Jesus' name, amen.